Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Shankara Building Limited Q3 and 9 months FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sayam Pokharna from TIL Advisors. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rutuja. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us in this Q3 and 9-month FY25 earnings conference call of Shankara Building Products Limited. The investor presentation has already been uploaded on the stock exchange and on the company website. If you wish to be added to our mailing list, please feel free to write to us. To take us through today's results, we have with us from the management team, Mr. Sukumar Srinivas, Managing Director, Mr. C. Ravi Kumar, Director, Mr. Dhananjay Mirle Srinivas, Vice President, and Mr. Alex Verghese, Chief Financial Officer. We will begin with a brief overview of the quarter and the 9-month performance from Mr. Dhananjay, followed by a Q&A session. Please note that any forward-looking statement made during this call should be considered in conjunction with the risk and uncertainties that we face. With that, I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Dhananjay. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sayam. Good morning, dear investors. Welcome to the Q3 and 9-month FY25 earnings call of Shankara Building Products Limited. We sincerely appreciate your presence today as we delve into our performance during this period. I would like to provide you with a comprehensive overview of our achievements, challenges, and strategic initiatives. Let me begin by highlighting some key aspects of our performance for Q3 FY25. We achieved a significant milestone in our steel segment, recording our highest ever quarterly sales volume of 2.15 lakh tons. This represents a 37% year-on-year growth, showcasing our strong market position and operational efficiency. For the 9-month FY25 period, we maintained this robust momentum with a 27% volume growth, reaching a cumulative of 5.84 lakh tons year-to-date. This performance was driven by substantial growth in all our verticals in South India, complemented by encouraging traction in West and Central India. However, as many of you are aware, the steel industry has been navigating through a challenging period characterized by depressed realizations. We experienced a blended 6% decrease in realizations in Q2, followed by a further 3% reduction in Q3, resulting in an approximate total decline of approximately 10% in steel prices year to date. This reduction has impacted our performance in two significant ways. It has limited our top line growth, which could have been higher by another 8 to 10%, and it has compressed our margins due to inventory losses. The impact of these inventory losses was evident in our Q3 EBITDA margins, mirroring the effect we saw in Q2. So far, in 9-month FY25, we have observed an adverse impact of approximately 22 crores on account of inventory losses. Despite our best efforts to operate efficiently in the face of such headwinds, our EBITDA margins for the quarter stood at 2.84%, lower compared to 3.42% in Q3 FY24. And relatively flat compared to Q2 of FY25. It is important to contextualize our performance within the broader macro environment, which is in particular challenging this financial year due to multiple factors. We witnessed a slowdown in government spending across infrastructure-related projects following the initial election-related disturbance in Q1. This impacted both our steel and non-steel market-based business. This was further compounded by factors such as a heavy monsoon, tepid steel prices, and a general weakness in retail demand. Despite these challenges, I want to assure you that our primary focus remains on scaling volumes. We are fully geared to meet our annual target of 0.8 million tons for FY25 and are setting our sights for 1 million tons in FY26. This ambition underscores our confidence in our operational capabilities and market positioning. On a more positive note, I am pleased to report that our non-steel product segment is performing well. This quarter, we achieved record sales of rupees 154 crores in this segment, reflecting a 19% year-on-year growth in Q3 and even higher 29% growth in 9-month FY25. The Nautil product segment is now creating critical mass and has exceeded 10% of our top line for the first time in the 9 months of FY25, marking a notable milestone in our diversification strategy. Within the non-steel segment, our key categories such as plumbing, fittings, sanitaryware, and tiles are all performing strongly. Additionally, we are seeing encouraging growth in electricals and paints, albeit a lower base. The response to our own brand, Fosha, has been particularly gratifying, and we have expanded its product range to include quartz sinks and adhesives, beyond the initial offering of tiles. We have started expanding the geographical footprint of Fosha after the initial launch in Kerala. We have a limited presence in Bangalore. To further enhance our volume proposition as a one-stop solution for all building material needs, we have been consistently expanding our supplier partnerships. We are now working with the majority of leading brands across all product categories, ensuring that we can meet the diverse needs of our customers. Geographically, we continue to perform strongly not only in our established stronghold of South India, but also in new markets in Western Central India. As you may recall, we adopted a non-retail first approach in these markets, new markets, with plans to expand into retail subsequently. I'm pleased to report that the growth from these new markets has been impressive, with Maharashtra emerging as a significant win for Shankara beyond our traditional southern states. Moreover, we are seeing encouraging growth beyond our traditional tubes and pipes dominated product segments, particularly in newer categories such as slats. We have grown about 37% year-on-year in 9-month FY25 in flats. Our strategy is clearly focused on being omnichannel, with all efforts directed towards achieving higher volumetric growth. We aim to avoid constraints associated with any particular vertical and are pursuing our growth across all fronts. Our extensive market presence through 126 operational fulfillment centers, including our stores, ensures we are visible and accessible in our chosen markets, catering to all categories of customers regardless of size. This comprehensive approach is what sets Shankara apart in today's competitive landscape, where scale has become the new mantra for success in the building materials marketplace and distribution industry. On the financial management front, we have maintained tight control over working capital, allowing us to moderate financial costs while still delivering revenue growth. Over the last 2 quarters, the conscious effort of our team have led to reduction in financial costs. We continue to optimize our working capital management. Lastly, I want to update you on the progress of our demerger. We have scheduled a shareholder extraordinary general meeting, EGM, on February 12th to vote on the demerger proposal. Subject to the results of this meeting and subsequent regulatory processes, we anticipate completing the entire demerger process by H1 FY26. In conclusion, while we navigate through challenges in the current market environment, our diversification strategy, focus on volume growth and expansion into new markets and product categories position us well for sustainable long-term growth. We remain committed to creating value for our shareholders and look forward to your continued support. Thank you for your attention, and we are now ready to open the floor for any questions you may have.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The first question is from the line of Viraj Mehta from Angema. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks a lot for initial remarks. So my first question is regarding the slowdown in the sales growth of the non-steel business. On such a low base, we have grown less than 20% this quarter, and which is an aberration for us. So how should an investor think about that piece? Because in the past, you have always grown multifolds of that in terms of percentage terms. So what is it? Like, is the base catching up? How do you think about that piece?
I don't think it's the base that is catching up. What has happened, the overall environment has been pretty subdued. So I think If you see our competition in the industry or the fellow competitors in this industry are at single digit kind of numbers in terms of growth, I think relative to that, our performance has been pretty good. We have achieved the 20% plus in this quarter two. So I would still say that there is no such impact. I think it's a general environment issues that have led to a slight slowdown in quarter three. I think we will catch up on that in the coming quarter.
Right, right, sir. And my second question is a broader question on steel. So you have talked that you have had 22 crore of inventory loss in this year because the steel prices obviously have fallen. But, sir, if I look at the historicals of our company, whenever steel prices go up, we don't seem to get the inventory gains part. So how does the channel work? Like, when there are inventory gains, you just don't get it. Like, how does that piece work? Can you explain, please?
I wouldn't say that is really true. I mean, whenever there is a significant increase in the price of steel, there is a gain too. So I won't just say that it's a sort of a zero-sum game when it goes up and we face all the, take only the downside. I think it sort of balances out in a period of time. So I think it plays out both ways.
So assuming, let's say, next year we see 5,000 rupee increase in steel prices on an average, would it be fair to say that at least some part of it we will get as inventory gains next year? If, I'm saying if, again.
Yes, whatever the inventory you have at the start of the period, whenever these gains happen, see, very small increase in prices do not have too much of an impact on the inventory gains because the market is still competitive. Though the price, whatever is sitting on inventory, yes, we will gain some of the gains, whatever happens in terms of the price increases.
Right. And sir, my last question is on debt reduction. Our interest cost still continues to remain reasonably high at almost 12-13 crores a quarter. Yes. What are our debt levels today and how do you plan to decrease it over next year or so? Or with higher growth, at least if the debt remains constant, like what is your thinking around that part, please?
Our first thought is that if we can hold the debt constant with an increase in the volumes, that is what we are really striving very hard. Even if you see between Q2 and Q3, the overall interest levels have remained more or less static despite the volumes having gone up significantly. So we are working very hard to hold this as our current, as the current strategy, let's say. The focus is on that.
Thank you so much, sir, and best of luck.
Thank you, Viraj.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Dhruv from Pegasus Growth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Sir, I wanted to talk about the creditor discounting number. I think we've been discussing that number for the last two quarters. You know, there was a slight reduction last quarter. Can you talk about what is the figure as of this quarter and what do you see going forward?
For creditors, for acceptance, is around 400 crores. So comparing with the last quarter, around 460, we have reduced around 60 crores. We are reduced in this quarter.
So that basically means that this has now become a permanent part of our funding structure. Should I assume that? Because that basically means that we will also be retaining a high interest cost going forward.
See, one of the key strategies we're working to reduce the interest cost is we're trying to take out a lot of what we are looking at outside the channel financing or a debt financing strategy, which we have started working from the last quarter itself. So once that really gains traction, we will be able to further reduce the interest cost from the debt side, on our debtor side.
So I'm just trying to understand structurally last year compared to last year to this year, that number has kind of
gone up. Yes. But the attempt is very sincerely on to try and reduce it despite the growth.
Okay. The reason why I'm saying this is that, I mean, any distribution model, you know, typically has, you know, systems in place to make sure that there are no inventory losses because, you know, you're purely buying and selling, right? I mean, you want to make sure that the inventory losses are practically nothing, but you had 22 crores of loss over there, and I don't know whether it's actually at the operating level or after interest, but typically there has to be a system because I'm trying to say, looking at it from the investor's perspective, you're building a beautiful distribution business on the building material side, but a big part of your revenue, which is around whatever 89-90% right now, is steel, and that's where you're, you know, every 2 or 3 years you have this big thing, and I remember. You know, tracking the stock long time back as well. I think there was one March, one quarter in I think in March 23, I think it was, where there was a huge loss. So I'm just saying that what we are having is a major variation in the steel business, and there has to be a way if you are a pure a retailer or a distributor to make sure that there are no such major variations, right?
Yes, I mean, yes, partially you are right. I mean, there is, we are subject to the, you know, the steel prices going up and down. So that is an area where we do not have much cover that we can take.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably trying to reiterate the same thing over here.
Yeah.
I'm saying that if you basically, you know, the same way that you've now taken a conscious decision of not going for increase in the network, and you know you're still.
See, I think what really will help us as we diversify more and more into the non-steel, this whole steel fluctuation, price fluctuations, will get mitigated. To a certain extent, it will certainly. Today, the non-steel is about 10%. But our target in the next 5 years is to take it up to 20-25%. I think as the share increases, we will be able to mitigate some of the vicissitudes of the steel prices.
Okay, so should we expect these kind of variations to come through again in the future as well?
See, it's very difficult to predict on the steel pricing that, you know, what's really typically likely to happen. But I think broadly we have seen some, last quarter was certainly better compared to Q2. I am hoping that this quarter will more or less stabilize. Right as of now, there is some talk of some increases from the JSW, etc., for this month. And it, you know, it all depends on, you know, this global steel cycle, etc. However, I would say that it's more or less plateauing out now as far as the steel pricing goes on the bottom side.
So that means the creditor discounting will effectively go away from next year. That's what you expect?
Yes.
Okay. Just one last thing, sir, and this is on your on your quarterly presentation. You know, we've been tracking the historic numbers and the you know the variables that you've been giving out, and they keep kind of changing over a period of time. Not in terms of the numbers, but in terms of what you give out. You know, till some time back, you used to have you know the EBITDA number for steel, non-steel, retail, non-retail. All of that used to be given out. Now, suddenly for the last two quarters, we don't have those. You know, I think we had a similar period between September 20 and March 22 also where a lot of those numbers were not given out. So I'm just trying to say if there could be some consistency in some what you give so that, you know, people can track it properly.
Sure. Your point is well noted.
So would you be giving out the steel and non-steel margins for the last two quarters?
I mean, we will work it out with the, with our IR, and we'll definitely do that from the future.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Love Gupta from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So, last quarter, you mentioned that you would be approaching about 50 crore EBITDA at like 3.5% margin. So, what were the particular reasons that you fell short, and by when can we see you achieving such numbers?
I think last quarter, if I just add that, you know, the inventory hit, I think we have achieved the 3.5% EBITDA. Even for the whole year, if you look at the 9 months, we've almost lost close to 22 crores by way of the inventory hits. I think if that had not happened, I think we are very much on track with our 3.5% EBITDA, higher than the 3 that we have normally guided. So I think, I mean, we keep our fingers crossed, certainly, but the company is working towards the same. And if this quarter is a fairly steady period, we're fairly confident we'll be back in the 3+ kind of EBITDAs this quarter itself.
Okay. And also, what were the inventory losses for this quarter in particular?
The last quarter?
Yeah, Q3.
Last quarter was about 10 crores.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Deepak Poda from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible, sir?
Very much.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you very much for the opportunity. So just first up on the interest cost, I mean, you mentioned we want to keep the debt level constant, right? So ideally, the interest cost that we are seeing right now, that will remain stable going forward?
It should be fairly stable.
It should be fairly stable, right? Okay, understood. And on the EBITDA margin on the retail front, I mean, currently we are at about maybe what 5.5% kind of a EBITDA margin in retail, right? So what sort of aspiration we see that in retail business over next maybe what 1 to 2 years?
In a couple of years, definitely we would like that to go by at least 1 percentage point.
In 2 years, we are expecting at least 1% improvement, right?
Yes.
And what would drive that? Will that be as a mix of...
It's purely from the mix of products and the non-steel that gains more trajectory.
Okay. So can you also suggest what was the, I mean, steel versus non-steel margins in this quarter or in the 9 months?
I think, I'll just give it to you in a quick... just give me the number of links.
Yeah.
The steel EBITDA margin was coming approximately around... Hello, is it audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah, steel EBITDA margin was coming around 2%, whereas non-steel was around 4.5%.
Okay, 4.5%. Okay, non-steel is 4.5% and steel is 2%.
Yeah, 2.5% and, steel was around 2.5% and non-steel was around 5.5%.
5.5%. And you mentioned that we want to increase the share of non-steel from 10% to 25%. So in how many years we are targeting that?
We are targeting that in the next 4 years, 4 to 5 years.
In 4 to 5 years. Okay, understood. And what sort of retail growth we are expecting? I mean, if we have to see next 2 years?
Sorry?
The retail segment growth.
See, we are now more or less talking about a marketplace kind of a model, if you see our presentation for the last couple of years. So we are taking the store, so we are coming out of the classification, what we had earlier done on channel, enterprise, and retail. So we are now calling it all as a marketplace a portion. Definitely in this, there is a focus. Today our retail is around 52-53% of the total sale. So we would like to sustain that going forward.
No, we would like to sustain this mix, I mean, in retail versus non-retail.
Yes.
But what sort of growth we are looking at? I mean, if you have to see next 2 years CAGR, what sort of growth we are looking at in the retail segment?
See, if the same percentage will be what will reflect the total numbers.
Okay, I mean, just...
See, once the demerger is done, another thing is the numbers will come out because there will be two separate entities where the numbers will also maybe, I mean, it will come out very much more clearly.
Okay. And also, any range we can put to it? I mean, 15-20% or 20-25% kind of a growth we are targeting in this segment?
Yes, if we are looking at an overall top-line growth of around 20-odd%, 22%, so you will see the same reflection happening in the retail part of it also.
Okay. So overall, we are looking at 20% kind of a growth, right?
Yeah.
Not on the volume we have already given.
So this is revenue is what we are talking about, yes.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. I think that would be it from my side, and all the very best to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Man Asher from Growth Sphere Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Sir, just wanted to understand the competitive intensity of the landscape of yours as well as other B2B companies and brick and mortar store business models. Sir, since there are many competitors who have entered in this space through the supply chain management and business model who are basically consolidating the supply chain, or basically consolidating the demand and then distributing the same amongst the smaller players, and they have scaled up like anything, and those are profitable as well. They have little to no investment, no PPE, no investment in inventory. So just wanted to understand how do you think that will still have the edge in this competitive environment in our B2B segment?
See, I think one of the key things, some of the newer players who have come into this line have, even if they have not kept sufficient inventory, they have been very liberal with their kind of credit period that they are offering. So many of them who are doing about, let's say, 10 to 15,000 crores of top line, they are looking at almost one-third, 3 to 4,000 crores kind of debtors level. So I think that is one area we have not really been that liberal in terms of, you know, giving it out. So this is something that is differentiating us from some of the new players. They have gained traction, no doubt. But we also see that there is some, of course, many of them are lining up for IPOs and so on in the near future. So we'll have to see what are the further, I mean, you know, how they move their businesses prior to an IPO. But to some extent, we feel that this competitive intensity has slightly come down in the last couple of months.
Okay, okay. Sir, but do you think that those companies have had some effect on our business as well? Because at the end of the day, their gain is somebody else's loss, right? So they have scaled up like anything, and we have been struggling in terms of a bit of that type of growth. So just wanted to understand from that perspective.
See, despite handling a conventional business with a reporting balance sheet, with all the impact of being a listed company and so on, we have still registered a 37% volume growth this year. I think that is pretty good compared to the industry standards, where the overall steel industry has grown by about 6 to 8% over the year. I think growing at 37% or 35% top line, I mean volume growth, is quite significant. So, and we don't have also the...
I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir. We cannot hear you. So we are unable to hear you. Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. So I don't know where back to life, but taking over the last question about the growth, I think we have done a 37% volume growth this year. I think that itself has been quite significant. So I don't know. I mean, this is quite remarkable to us. I mean, given the competitive environment. So I think we have done pretty well in terms of our growth.
Okay, sir. So that's it. Thank you so much. All the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Keshav Garg from Counter Cyclical PMS. Please go ahead.
Sir, I'm trying to understand that, sir, last year we raised 100 crore equity And despite raising that much money, our interest cost has still gone up significantly year on year by almost 50%. So, consequently, our profit after tax is down. So then what's the point of this growth in top line, volume growth, when it is not percolating down to the bottom line?
See, this year the bottom line would have been substantially better by at least another 20-odd crores had the inventory losses not hit us. So we are also preparing the base so that the volume growth is going to be substantial. A, B, we have also said that we will sustain and try and hold the interest cost going forward. So on a higher volume, the fact that we've taken a big jump compared to last year to this year on the basic volume growth. So therefore, I think we will be able to hold it steady for the future.
Sir, now post-COVID, when steel prices were going up, I never heard inventory gain word from management commentary during the con call. But now when steel prices are going down, I think everything is due to the inventory loss. When on the upside, we just take it in our stride, then sir, the point is that volatility in steel prices are a fact of life. It's not that it's happening for the first time. So since we are holding a large inventory all the time, so then it is part, very much part of the normal business risk for us.
Correct. So immediately after COVID, the prices did go up, but that much of that advantage of the prices going substantially was taken by the steel companies itself, number one. And in future, we shall also highlight that wherever there has been any significant gain, we will also highlight that.
Right. Now, sir, regarding our manufacturing business, where I understand we did 1,000 crore of revenue in 9 months and our EBITDA was only 16 crore, 1.6%, and ROC was 3%. So I'm unable to understand, because sir, if you see then pipes and tube business, if you see all the listed companies, they are doing very well. The margins are in double digits and the return on capital is over 20%. So why is it that our steel tube manufacturing business seems like to be operating in some other planet?
Yeah. So that is one of the primary reasons for the demerger, because it was weighing down the marketplace business. That is number one. There has never been much of a focus on the manufacturing business, because we've always been more focused on the marketplace. So that is one of the driving forces of trying to improve our efficiencies into demerging both the entities. So our first aim right now is to try and improve capacities. That is what we are working at, and trying to focus with a much more focused management bandwidth internally. So I think you will start seeing that improving over the next years.
Sir, and lastly, sir, as things stand today, I understand there has been a 1-2 rupees hike in steel prices recently. So can you confirm that? And sir, so far, are we seeing inventory gain or loss in our inventory, steel inventory, so far in the fourth quarter? Hello.
And we'll see.
Sir, we were unable to hear you in between.
Hello. Can you hear me now?
Yes, now we can.
Yeah. Hello.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you are talking about whether there has been a gain in this quarter, correct?
Right.
So, it's not yet come onto the ground. It's been holding stable. Let us see, if there is an increase in the steel prices, then we will come, it will reflect in the coming, further down the quarter.
So far, is it inventory gain, inventory loss, or break-even?
It is currently stable.
Right, sir. And sir, what kind of guidance you would like to give for the next year, FY26? Sir, will we, steel prices remaining the same, assuming then sir, what kind of top line and what kind of EBITDA profit should we expect?
See, top line, we would like to sustain the 20% plus. The EBITDA, we would definitely be 3% plus. And I think these are the basic two points that you're looking at.
Sir, just one clarification, this 3% EBITDA margin that we are talking about, it is exclusive of lease rentals or inclusive of lease rentals?
Inclusive of lease rentals.
Sir, I would request you to kindly give this number post-lease rental because it's a proper operating expense lease rental for us. So, I mean, so post-lease rental, what kind of margin should we expect?
Yeah, the post demerger, whatever property the demerged company will be having, they will be agreed for rent for the resulting company. At that time, the lease rental will get captured.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ankit Shah from Audacity Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Congratulations on great set of numbers. My question was regarding the demerger timeline.
We cannot hear you that clearly, sir.
Hi. Is it better?
Yes.
So my question is regarding the demerger timeline. So is there any further delay expected from H1 FY26 or?
See, we don't currently, NCLT Bangalore does not have a full-time bench. So anyway, the positive side is on 12th, we have the AGM, the shareholders meeting. So after the approval, we file it with the NCLT. So, see, to some extent, we are at the mercy of the vagaries of the court having adequate numbers. So I think if they have a full-time bench, things move faster. The positive lining is they do have visiting benches from other NCLT, from either Chennai or Hyderabad, etc. So, I mean, if all goes well, we've been, I mean, quite clearly told that quarter of the next year. So once that happens, I mean, we hope that it will not get further delayed.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ketan Cheda, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
My question was with respect to the finance cost. In Q1, we mentioned that in the upcoming quarter, we will be able to mitigate and contain this cost. But right now, while it has come down to some extent, it's still significantly higher as compared to our previous years. So what I would like to understand is, going forward, do you expect the quantum in absolute numbers, the finance cost to remain at similar levels, or it will go down to our the earlier levels?
Yeah. Currently, if you see, we have reduced it by about 3 crores from the quarter 1 to quarter 2 and a further around a crore to quarter 3. So going forward, you will see that broadly, with the, and this has happened despite a substantial increase in the sales, the value and the volumes. So I think if we will probably, our first target is to try and hold on to this cost going forward despite an increase in our growth.
Okay, which means in absolute terms, it probably will not come down. As a percentage of the top line, it will, but in absolute numbers, it is likely to stay around these levels.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Keshav Garg from Counter Cyclical PMS. Please go ahead.
Sir, now 90% of our business approximately is from steel, and sir, now steel prices are at multi-year lows, and then our working capital is exploding, and our interest payment is exploding. So once steel prices go up, then, sir, I don't know how much our interest cost will go up because the inventory will go up proportionately. So, do you have any, clarification on this point?
See, if you look at a number of days of working capital, despite the last year, we started at about 36 days, which has come down to around 33. Our target is to bring it down to 30, number one. So that itself is we are trying to sustain the existing working capital despite the growth. So that is the point. So we will try and sustain the same going forward. Number two, we are also working very hard with multiple NBFCs and banks to work on our debt financing. So if a substantial portion of our debt gets financed by situations where the interest will be passed on to our customers and the debtors, that itself should sustain or even bring down the interest cost as we go forward. So this is called a dealer financing, basically.
So by this step, how much is this expected to go down? So firstly, what is our cost of debt today? So cost of debt including the interest that we are paying on our payables and acceptances, what is that percentage?
Approximately around 9 to 9.5% is our present cost of debt.
Right. So by how much can we reduce it?
Because once this dealer finance, if you are initiating and keeping the inventory in control, we try to retain around 9% debt.
So it's not that significant. Sir, in any case, now the point is that if we see from fourth quarter of last year where our revenue was 1377 crore to now this last quarter, when revenue was 1437 crore, it's an increase of only 4% in our revenue. But whereas our interest cost has increased from 9 to 12 crore, so which is like a 33% increase on 4% increase of revenue. So then I don't understand that how come our working capital days is under control, as you said, because sir, with 4% of increase in revenue, if interest cost is going up by 33%, then surely, prima facie, it seems that the working capital days would have gone up.
True. So now, what is happening is when the net working capital calculation is happening, so that some of the exceptions also been added in that. So that is the thing we are trying to come out slowly.
And last, secondly, Q4 to Q3 is also a slightly, generally Q4s are a little better in terms of fund cycles, etc., compared to a Q3 or a Q1. Q1 is generally the slightly more sluggish period. So you do have a point, but I think we are working hard to bring it down to control, to parallels.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lalit, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Two questions to understand.
Can you hear me now?
It's better.
Please go ahead.
Yes. So, sir, the point is, for the quarter, for the Q3 that has gone by, our interest cost is approximately 12 crore, which is approximately 30% of the operating profit. So 30% of the operating profit is going into interest. So question number one, what is our group level debt? The whole group level debt. And then, do we have any plan to reduce it? Because if you look at the financial year 24, the interest cost was approximately 50 crore, which was more than 33% of the operating profit. What is our debt level and what is our plan to reduce that debt number?
Our group level debt as on quarter end, Q3, it is around 500 crores.
500 crore, okay.
Yeah. So we are working hard to reduce that.
Okay.
So with the additional growth, whatever is going to happen, we are trying to reduce it.
But additional growth, even if we grow by 6, 7, 8%, I think all of that money would be required for the business. To reduce that debt, do we have some plan?
Yeah.
So I think one is dealer financing is what we are really working hard on.
Okay. Because sir, the interest cost, I'm an individual investor and hardcore believer when the company was listed since then, because I'm also believer of the discretionary spending that is being come up, that will come up in the next few years. So everywhere I go, I try to find out if there is a store, Shankara Building store or not. So I'm getting worried how investor like us would get a profit. Because the debt interest is eating a lot of our profits.
True, very true. I think dealer financing, we're working on 100 crore at least to start with as a program. So if that is really kicks off ground, I think to that extent the debt will start coming down.
Can we expect some reduction in the next FY26?
We will see some reduction hopefully in this quarter itself, and definitely tangible results from Q1 next year.
From Q1 26?
Yeah.
Okay. We have a long-term view, 3-4 years. We can expect in the next 3-4 years it will drastically come down?
We are also, I mean, as a management, we are also equally concerned about, how to improve profits. So we are also working for the company, and we are also very, very clear that all the stakeholders should benefit. So there is a very, very serious attempt at all levels to bring this down.
I feel quite good. Thank you very much. We are committed with you too. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ketan Chera, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity again. My question is again on the finance cost. Is it possible for you to break it in terms of how much is our finance cost for the marketplace business versus how much is for the manufacturing business?
I think once the demerger is done, those figures will become much more clear. And you will have a very clear, what goes where.
But if you cannot quantify, can you give some kind of indication or direction, whether it is more than half, less than half, something like that, some level of qualitative indicator, if not absolute numbers?
So out of 40 crores, approximately 10 crores will be manufacturing, and 10 to 15 crores will be manufacturing, and then 125 will be for marketplace.
Okay, so marketplace has a higher proportion of the financing cost. Right. Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sukumar Srinivas for closing comments.
Yeah. Thank you very much for this very active participation from all the investors. Thank you so much. And we look forward to address your issues and work hard to give good, keep the shareholders' interest to our hearts. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of Shankara Building Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.